Well, good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this 16th day of April. It is day 107 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother and your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up every day to spend a little time together with you in the pages of the Scriptures. And we let the Scriptures do what they do and point the way to the one who is the point of it all, Jesus. The Bible isn't the point, my friend. We love the Bible. We read it every day. But it is not the point. Jesus is the point. And so we worship Jesus. We don't worship a Bible. We come to the living Word, not pages in a book. These pages are so faithful to point the way. But He is the way. And we want to be clear about that. And today, these pages are going to point our hearts through the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18. That's where we'll start. Then we go on to 1 Chronicles, chapter 6. Then on to Psalm 11. And we'll finish in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we have hearts that are willing and ready to be pointed in the direction of Jesus. So, Father, help us now. Help us to see. 1 Samuel 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David, because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced with joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me only with thousands? Next they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men, and David faithfully led his troops into battle. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. One day Saul said to David, I'm ready to give you my older daughter, Merab, as your wife. But first you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, I'll send him out against the Philistines and let them kill him rather than doing it myself. Who am I and what is my family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? David exclaimed. My father's family is nothing. So when the time came for Saul to give his daughter Merab in marriage to David, he gave her instead to Adriel, a man from Ohalah. In the meantime, Saul's daughter Michal had fallen in love with David, and Saul was delighted when he heard about it. Here's another chance to see him killed by the Philistines, Saul said to himself. But to David he said, Today you have a second chance to become my son-in-law. Then Saul told his men to say to David, The king really likes you, and so do we. Why don't you accept the king's offer and become his son-in-law? When Saul's men said these things to David, he replied, How can a poor man from a humble family afford the bride price for the daughter of a king? When Saul's men reported this back to the king, he told them, Tell David that all I want for the bride price is 100 Philistine foreskins. Vengeance on my enemies is all I really want. But what Saul had in mind was that David would be killed in the fight. David was delighted to accept the offer. Before the time limit expired, he and his men went out and killed 200 Philistines. Then David fulfilled the king's requirement by presenting all their foreskins to him. So Saul gave his daughter Michal to David to be his wife. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him, Saul became even more afraid of him and remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. Every time the commanders of the Philistines attacked, David was more successful against them than all the rest of Saul's officers. So David's name became very famous. 1 Chronicles 6. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The descendants of Kohath included Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar was the father of Phinehas. Phinehas was the father of Abishua. Abishua was the father of Bukki. Bukki was the father of Uzi. Uzi was the father of Zerahiah. Zerahiah was the father of Merioth. Merioth was the father of Amariah. Amariah was the father of Ahitub. Ahitub was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Johanan. Johanan was the father of Azariah, the high priest at the temple built by Solomon in Jerusalem. Azariah was the father of Amariah. Amariah was the father of Ahitub. Ahitub was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Shallum. Shallum was the father of Hilkiah. Hilkiah was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Seraiah. Seraiah was the father of Jehozadak, who went into exile when the Lord sent the people of Judah and Jerusalem into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The descendants of Gershon included Libni and Shemaiah. The descendants of Kohath included Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The descendants of Merari included Mahali and Mushi. The following were the Levite clans, listed according to their ancestral descent. The descendants of Gershon included Libni, Jahath, Zimah, Joah, Ido, Zerah, and Jethariah. The descendants of Kohath included Aminadab, Korah, Asir, Elkanah, Abisaph, Asir, Tahath, Uriel, Uzziah, and Shual. The descendants of Elkanah included Amasiah, Ahamoth, Elkanah, Zophiah, Nahath, Eliab, Jehoram, Elkanah, and Samuel. The sons of Samuel were Joel the older and Abijah the second. The descendants of Merari included Mahali, Libni, Shemaiah, Usa, Shemiah, Haggiah, and Asiah. David assigned the following men to lead the music at the house of the Lord after the ark was placed there. They ministered with music at the tabernacle until Solomon built the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. They carried out their work following all the regulations handed down to them. These are the men who served, along with their sons. Heman, the musician, was from the clan of Kohath. His genealogy was traced back through Joel, Samuel, Elkanah, Jehoram, Eliel, Toah, Zuf, Elkanah, Mahath, Amasiah, Elkanah, Joel, Azariah, Zephaniah, Tahath, Asir, Abasaph, Korah, Izhar, Kahath, Levi, and Israel. Haman's first assistant was Asa from the clan of Gershon. Asaph's genealogy was traced back through Berechiah, Shemaiah, Michal, Besiah, Melchishah, Ethni, Zerah, Adiah, Itan, Zimah, Shemaiah, Jahath, Gershon, and Levi. Haman's second assistant was Ethan from the clan of Merari. Ethan's genealogy was traced back through Kishi, Abdi, Malak, Hashabiah, Amaziah, Hilkiah, Amzi, Bani, Shemer, Mahale, Mushi, Merari, and Levi. Their fellow Levites were appointed to various other tasks in the tabernacle, the house of God. Only Aaron and his descendants served as priests. They presented the offerings on the altar of burnt offerings and the altar of incense, and they performed all the other duties related to the most holy place. They made atonement for Israel by doing everything that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded them. The descendants of Aaron were Eleazar, Phinehas, Abishua, Bukki, Uzi, Zerahiah, Merioth, Amariah, Ahitub, Zadok, and Ahimaaz. This is the record of the towns and territories assigned by means of sacred lots to the descendants of Aaron. who were from the clan of Kohath. This territory included Hebron, its surrounding pasture lands in Judah, but the fields and outlying areas belonging to this city were given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So the descendants of Aaron were given the following towns, each with its pasture lands: Hebron, a city of refuge; Libna, Jatir, Eshtemoa, Holon, Debir, Ain, Jotua, and Bet Shemesh. And from the territory of Benjamin, they were given Gibeon, Geba, Alameth, and Anathoth, each with its pasture lands. So 13 towns were given to the descendants of Aaron. The remaining descendants of Kohath received 10 towns from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh by means of sacred lots. The descendants of Gershon received by sacred lots 13 towns from the territories of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and from the Bashan area of Manasseh east of the Jordan. The descendants of Merari received by sacred lots 12 towns from the territories of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the people of Israel assigned all these towns and pasture lands to the Levites. The towns in the territories of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin mentioned above were assigned to them by means of sacred lots. The descendants of Kohath were given the following towns from the territory of Ephraim, each with its pasture lands: Shechem, a city of refuge in the hill country of Ephraim; Gezer, Jokmeam, Beit Horon, Ajalon, Gat Rimon. The remaining descendants of Kohath were assigned the towns of Aner, Belim, from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh, each with its pasture lands. The descendants of Gershon received the towns of Golan and Bashan and Ashtaroth from the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh, each with its pasture lands. From the territory of Issachar, they were given Kadesh, Deberath, Rimon, and Anem, each with its pasture lands. From the territory of Asher, they received Mashah, Abdon, Hakoch, and Rehob, each with its pasture lands. From the territory of Naphtali, they were given Kadesh in Gilead, Hamon, and Kiriathim, each with its pasture lands. The remaining descendants of Merari received the towns of Jokneam, Karta, Rimon, and Tabor from the territory of Zebulun, each with its pasture lands. From the territory of Reuben, east of the Jordan River, opposite Jericho, they received Bezer, the desert town, Jahaz, Kadmoth, and Mehaphath, each with its pasture lands. And from the territory of Gad, they received Ramon in Gilead, Mahanaim, Heshbon, and Jezer, each with its pasture lands. Psalm 11, for the choir director, a psalm of David. I trust in the Lord for protection, so why do you say to me, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? But the Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with scorching winds, for the righteous Lord loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. Matthew 3. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locust and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we're descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones.
Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire.
Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it.
"I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?"
But Jesus said to him, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." And now may our Lord, the dearly loved Son, give his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen. This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. These are the first words we hear the Father speak over the Son. And through Christ, they are words that have been spoken over all people all over the earth. God has declared his love for all humanity. He's declared his love for you. So here in this declaration, the heart of the Father for all people everywhere, broken, lost, sinner people like you and me, Jesus comes to do all that is needed so that every man, woman, and child can be embraced into the triune love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all humanity can experience the love that is shared in the Godhead. So we can be one as they are one. Hear the declaration of what is. Hear the proclamation that you are loved by God. This is not a proposition. God's love in your position as daughter, as son, is not a great opportunity for you if you believe enough or you get your act together enough. It is a declaration of what is. You are loved. You are his, and that is great news. Let's hear this declaration well today and move out into the world, learning, discovering how to live out who we have become. May God give us wisdom, and may God give us joy as we live out this gospel in him. And that's the prayer that I have for my own soul today. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, and my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast. And meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity, and in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, beautiful hearts, thanks again for joining me here in some time in Scripture and in prayer. These are good practices, my friend, for so many reasons. And one reason is it helps to set our intention for the day to live a mindful life, to be tuned into ourselves, into our heart's desires, into the Spirit's presence with our life. Mindfulness is so important. Taking time each day for our soul in this habit of listening to the Scriptures, praying to our Father. It's all so important for us living this Christian life. So may God help us to be mindful today and develop these practices that help us. And one last thing before I let you go, I do want to say thank you to our partners. Once again, these are the folks that make this podcast possible. They have joined the team, and they are making the dream a reality each and every day. So I want to say thank you to Judy Poundstone, Tanika Davis, David Judah, Tom and Anna Carlson, Joanne Chen, David Potyok, Leah Kephart, Robert Sally, Kristen McClellan, David Swain, Scott Boren, and Cindy Boulash. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers in this work of the Lord. If you're listening today and you would like to join that team of folks, if it would bring you joy, man, that is so amazing. And it is so appreciated. And all you need to do is head on over to the webpage, click on that donate link, or you can find that very same link in the show notes of today's podcast. If you're old school, and I know that some of you are, you can reach us through the U.S. Post at Daily Radio Bible, 2748 Northeast Molini Way, Hillsboro, Oregon, 97124. Hey. We've done it, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do it again. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, your brother Hunter plans on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Guys, take care.